I will now read an excerpt taken from page 10 of the AA group pamphlet to get us started. The entire structure of AA depends upon the participation and conscience of the individual groups and how each of these groups conducts its affairs. It has a ripple effect on AA everywhere. Thus, we are ever individually conscious of our responsibility for our own sobriety and as a group for carrying the AA message to the suffering alcoholic who reaches out to us for help. AA has no central authority, minimal organization, and a handful of traditions instead of laws. As co-founder Bill W. noted in 1960, we obey the 12 traditions willingly because we ought to and because we want to. Perhaps the secret of their power lies in the fact that these life-giving communications spring out of living experience and are rooted in love. AA is shaped by the collective voice of its local groups and their representatives to the General Service Conference, which works toward unanimity on matters vital to the fellowship. Each group functions independently, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. And I now give you, without further ado, Carrie B. Thank you, Carrie, for being here with us this evening.
Oh, wow. That was really quick. Thank you, Dee. And thank you, Bob. It's nice to be here. My name is Carrie, and I am an alcoholic. And I'm currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. I wanted to put up the pamphlet that we're working out of in the chat for anybody who doesn't have that pamphlet, the AA group pamphlet, which is kind of what this workshop is about today, right? So that you can follow along. She just read from page 10 of that pamphlet, and it's really a handbook. It's a 50-page pamphlet. So I don't know when a pamphlet turns into a pamphlet, handbook or a booklet, but I think 50 pages, is probably around that. So, this booklet, I'll call it handbook, is pretty much the owner's manual. If you belong to a home group, how best can I take care of that home group, and how best can I maintain it? Right. Well, you buy a new car. You buy a new car, and it comes with an owner's manual, right? And my service sponsor always says when you have an owner's manual, it's super smart to kind of read through it and do what it says. And it says every maybe 3,000 miles, you might want to get an oil change. The pamphlet, the owner's manual, it's not going to change your oil for you, but it's going to give you some really good suggestions, right? So that you don't go off the beam. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous are great. They are outlined in the pamphlet that you guys are doing next month. 12 Traditions Illustrated. That's the newest, most current version of the 12 traditions. They can be found in AA Comes of Age, which is my very favorite place to go through the traditions. They can be found in Language of the Heart, which is kind of a sneak peek behind what the thinking was that was going into the traditions. Those are Bill Wilson's articles that he wrote and published in the Grapevine, one a month for 12 months in a row to introduce us. And then, of course, there's the 12 and 12, which is my fourth favorite out of the four. And that's just kind of some history and some kind of silly stories that go along with why we needed the traditions, which is important too. But this pamphlet, I call it the hidden traditions and concepts, because even somebody who doesn't know the traditions, want to study the traditions, doesn't care about the traditions or the concepts, doesn't want to hear about them. If you're running your group using this, you are running your group utilizing the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous. And everything that's in between page 1 and page 50 is the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts of AA. Now, it's not going to come out and say that, or else nobody would pick up this handbook, right? So they're hidden, but that's what they are, because the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts is in its entirety, how we run a group, how a group functions, utilizing those traditions and concepts, those last 24 spiritual principles. So what Dee read out of the, well, first I'm going to look at the table of contents. So if you guys want to turn to the table of contents with me, I love the table of contents. It makes it so easy to find anything. Any question your group or any member of your group has about a home group and the way it functions can be found in this pamphlet. I have not found a question yet that you can't find the answer to in this handbook. And the table of contents makes it really easy. So Dee asked, well, what do you want me to read in the beginning of this workshop? And I looked in the table of contents and I saw that it says introduction, page 10. I thought, well, I suppose the introduction to the workshop could be introduction, page 10. And so when we flipped to page 10, that's what she read. And what she read was all about concept one. What she read was all about concept one and tradition two. And this pamphlet is tradition two. This pamphlet is God, as he may express himself through our group conscience, throughout the United States and Canada, being voted on at every stage of development, and then finally printed and published in our conference approved literature. So we have a group conscience in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I think I know better, which is often, I have a lot of opinions. I have a lot of good ideas. And I start thinking that I know better, then what I've been taught is that I have to go and I look it up in here, and whatever this says, I have to go with. Because for some reason, God, as he may express himself through the group conscience of the United States and Canada, holds a little bit more weight than Carrie's opinion. So I have to have enough humility to put our group conscience of AA, which is this, before my own personal opinion. Now, that's easy today. Sometimes it's easier today. I won't lie. It's easier today. And the reason why it's easier is that it came with experience. And so I'll tell you, when somebody first handed me this pamphlet, I was probably 18 months sober. Okay, I took a look in it and it was wrong. It had a whole bunch of BS in it. 95% of it was wrong. I could have rewritten it way better. I knew things for a fact, like the newcomer is the most important person in the room, not the group. You know, I knew stuff for a fact, like it doesn't matter if you're not alcoholic. Anybody with a desire to stop drinking should be able to participate in AA. I knew stuff like women's meetings were for women only. I knew stuff like these common things, right? And then this pamphlet was saying the opposite. And so I did not like that, right? And so 95% of this pamphlet was wrong. Now, having been serving in AA at many levels on many committees, and never missing my home group's business meeting. In the past 10 years, I've missed my home group's monthly business meeting one time. So I'm a very active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I haven't missed an area assembly in probably 7 or 8 years. I am very active. And so as a result of having a little bit of experience watching how AA works and how it functions and what we do and what we don't do, today I can tell you, this pamphlet, in Carrie's not so humble opinion, has become 95% right. And there's only one thing in it that is still wrong. Now, the pamphlet hasn't changed. Well, it hasn't changed much. What's changed is my perception. What's changed is my experience. And so even that one thing that's not right still in the pamphlet, I'm asked a question about that one thing sometimes in Q&A at the end of a workshop. And when it comes up, my jaw gets tight. I quench my teeth and sometimes my butt cheeks, because I don't like answering this question, because I think I have the right answer and my opinion is correct. But I have to open my pamphlet and read word for word what AA says instead of Carrie. And that is some of the hardest stuff I've had to learn in AA. Now, it doesn't sit right with me. And so one of the things that I can do and one of the things that I've been taught is I have written in an agenda item to the conference to change this thing that's wrong. I don't get to change it just based on my opinion. My group doesn't get to change it based on our opinion. My district doesn't get to change it based on our opinion. But there is a process for that. And if the rest of the United States and Canada believes that it needs to be changed, then it can be. And at that point, I can start answering the question, feeling right about that. But until then, I don't get to get off of what AA's stance is on anything. So the reason why, again, is tradition too. And so what Dee read in the introduction on page 10 explains a little bit about why having a home group. Well, because if I don't have a home group, my voice doesn't count. If I don't have a home group with an active GSR, my vote doesn't count, and neither does my voice. I'm not part of the general service structure. I'm not a voting member. So it introduces concept one here, because like I said, this whole pamphlet is 12 concepts and 12 traditions. That's what it really is. So it introduces concept one here, saying the final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship, not just Carrie's opinion, right? If I'm the minority opinion, I get to go along with the majority. I get to go along with the group's conscience, whether I like it or not. And that also applies to AA as a whole. The AA group, the final voice as the fellowship. So Alcoholics Anonymous has been called an upside down organization because ultimately responsibility and a final authority for world services resides in the groups. So it's my responsibility to be an active member of my home group rather than with the trustees, the General Service Board, or the General Service Office in New York. So we're an upside down triangle, right? Well, what does that even mean? What is being part of a group mean? What does that look like? Well, there's a page for that, believe it or not. We can go to page 19. I'm just gonna make myself big, I think, spotlight for everyone. Now, this is on page 19, this little graph. Now you see a meeting here, and that meeting has, you can have a perfectly good meeting. This is a meeting. This makes a meeting a group. So there's a meeting. And that meeting has a chairperson, and they have a treasurer, and they have a secretary, and a PI guy, and a CPC guy. And then they elect a general service representative, and all of a sudden, they are part of their district, they're part of their area, they're part of the general service conference, and they're connected to AA as a whole. And so that's how you become part of, and this, I love this illustration. I love the illustration in the 12 concepts illustrated as well. I think I like that illustration just a little bit better, but this one definitely suffices because it gives that visual of how you become part connected to AA World Services and how you become part of the decision-making process. I'm going to just go over some of the fun stuff that the common stuff that AA 101, right? Like the stuff that is super fun to look up because it's like, oh my God, I didn't know that was ever decided on by the fellowship or whatever. And you can look up your own stuff in the table of contents. Like I said, I love the table of contents. It's so easy to read and it's so easy to look stuff up. So I'm just going to go down and go through a few of my favorites and then And then at the end, if you guys want to look one up together, or if you have any questions on anything, then we'll do that. So I'm going to just talk first about, let's start with page 13, the difference between an open and a closed meeting. Like everybody, I think if we went around the world and asked every group what the difference between an open and a closed meeting is, every group would probably have a different answer. The groups that are unified on this answer are probably the groups like mine who require you to bring this this pamphlet, the AA group pamphlet, with you to our business meetings. That's how we conduct our business. That's how we make decisions. Whatever this pamphlet says is kind of what goes in my home group. And the reason we do that is not because we don't appreciate the fourth tradition of autonomy. The reason we do that is because we very much appreciate the fourth tradition of autonomy. And we are autonomous in many different ways. But the ways that is in here are not, they have been voted on already. They are our unified message. They're the ways that we can promote unity by making sure that the newcomer isn't going to come to my home group and hear a completely different message than if they go to the group next door, as far as what AA is and is not. And that is part of our foundation. That's part of our that's part of our strength. Actually, that is our strength. The unity in the 12 and 12 says the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has. And I believe that. And so if we don't have a unified message and a unified service structure and a unified way of doing things, not uniform, unified, right? And so I'm not saying that my group doesn't have its quirky, like one of the best things that I've seen in AA, I don't know, I'm going to have to pull this up and see if I can pull this up. One of the best things that I've seen in AA in a long time is one of my sponsees just moved and she just went to her first, she's shopping for a new home group. And she went to her first meeting at this big book study. And she sent me this picture. And I think it's great. Some of you will probably not think it's great. There was a time in my sobriety that I would have hated this. But this is a perfect example of group autonomy. She took a picture in the meeting. Luckily, she didn't get anybody's, you know, that there was no faces or nothing like that. She was very discreet, but I'm going to make the screen big again and show you, because this is hilarious. Spotlight for everyone. This is what they have going on. Now wait for the screen to clear. They have their own chairs at this group. They have their names written on their chairs at this group. Oh my God. I've never seen anything like that. Would I want to do that at my group? Probably not, but I love and the fact that I can celebrate that every group is autonomous, right? And that group does that. That's hilarious. My group, we do birthday cards, you know, for our home group members. We send around birthday cards at the business meeting for all of the other home group members to sign on upcoming sobriety birthdays and anniversaries. You know, that's something that we do that's autonomous. Every group doesn't have to do that. Some groups give out coins. Some groups give out cakes. We give out cards. You know, every group is autonomous. And those are wonderful things to celebrate. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand me and think that I'm saying every group needs to do stuff exactly the same. That's not true. But the stuff that we have voted on at the conference, the stuff that we have, that God has expressed himself through the group conscience of the United States and Canada, if I'm not going to follow that, if I'm not going to follow what's in here, that's just like saying, God, I hear you. I hear you. I see what you're saying, but I got it. I know better. Right. And those are the things that Alcoholics Anonymous needs to be unified on. We need to be unified on these things or else we're going to fall apart. And so that's why I love this 50-page booklet. So open and closed meetings. What is an open and a closed meeting? Well, here's the definition of an open meeting or closed meeting. Closed meeting first. Closed meetings are for AA members only or for those who have a drinking problem and have a desire to stop drinking. So you don't have to have actually joined the membership of AA to be in a closed meeting. You just have to know that you have a drinking problem or think you might have a drinking problem and want to do something about it, right? So what is an open meeting? Open meetings are available to anyone interested in Alcoholics Anonymous Program of Recovery from Alcoholism, and non-alcoholics may attend open meetings as observers. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been taught to look up words in the dictionary just to make sure that I am not making stuff up. And nowhere under observer in the dictionary does it say participate. So in fact, I think observe and participate are, quite frankly, the exact opposites. I had no idea that I thought open meetings when I was brand new, I really did think open meetings meant meetings of all addictions anonymous. I didn't even know that they were AA meetings still. And today I understand after reading in the 12 and 12, the reason why we started having open meetings so that friends and family could come and see just what AA is and is not. I didn't understand that today open meetings are where I really need to not get off track, where I only identify myself as an alcoholic, where I don't talk about outside issues, where I don't drop the F-bomb, because open meetings is where our public information, where we send I'm in CPC right now. That stands for Cooperations with the Professional Community. That's my service position right now at the district. And so I work with a lot of professionals. And when we're telling professionals what AA is and isn't, we send them to open meetings to get a better idea. And so an open meeting is our public information where we send friends and family members to get a good idea of what AA is. And when we are talking about stuff that's not AA and people who are not alcoholic are sharing, that's not carrying an adequate presentation of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so in a closed meeting, I don't know. In a closed meeting, we're all a bunch of drunks. I'm going to maybe drop the F-bomb. I'm going to dress how I want to. I can talk about some outside issues if they're going to lead me to something, you know, whatever. But in an open meeting, I need to be on my best behavior and I need to represent Alcoholics Anonymous for what it is. And that this makes real clear that. So the next part is the home group. What is a home group? Like, I didn't know when I was new. So this is on page 15, the bottom of page 15. When I was new, I thought that I had a right to participate in every meeting that I attended. I think I had a service position in every meeting I attended. I have some true control issues, you know, like I was the treasurer of that group, the secretary of that group, the GSR of that group. And I mean, nobody could have a business meeting without seeing me there, you know, and I didn't know about the concepts. I didn't know about concept four, which is the right of participation. One member, one group, one vote. I didn't know that that's how the whole service structure works. Today, you know, structurally, thank God for your guys' sake that I have been in alignment with concept four for a long time. And I've only participated at my own home group. When I'm asked to do something for a different district, a different area, a different group, I can respectfully say yes, and I can show up and fulfill that commitment, but I'm not an elected trusted servant at your District 6 here in Florida. Your District 6 in Florida needs to be self-supporting, both monetary and physically. I have to support my district, which is District 5 here in Oregon Area 58. And same with my home group. And so what is a home group? Well, traditionally, most AA members through the years have found it important to belong to one group that they call their home group. So I can go to many, well, I'll just continue reading. This is the group where they accept service. This is the group, not one of the groups. This is the group that where we accept service responsibilities and try to sustain friendships. Although all AA members are usually welcome at all groups and feel at home in any of these meetings, the concept of the home group has still remained the strongest bond between the AA member and the fellowship. Why? Well, because with membership, this is on the top of page 16, comes the right to vote on issues that might affect the group and might also affect AA as a whole. So with my membership to my home group, that buys me a vote. It buys me a voice. And I get to vote on the stuff that goes on there. A process that forms the very cornerstone of the AA service structure. As with all group conscience matters, each AA member has one vote. And this ideally is voiced through the home group. Now there's exceptions to that. Obviously we have Loners International, right? Loners International is an exception. They get to voice their vote a little bit differently. And now we have a whole bunch of different, like, little tiny exceptions, but basically my voice is heard through the general service representative at my home group. And that's how it gets to the district. That's how it gets to the area. And eventually that's how it gets to the conference level. And that's how my voice is carried. That's also how we take census in AA. Like, if everybody had multiple home groups, AA would look like we're four times the size. And if AA, if nobody claimed a home group, which this could actually get me on a tangent, so I'm going to try to stay away from this. But, you know, we look at that membership, and some people say, look at membership, it's declining, or look at membership, it hasn't grown in the past 10 years, right? Well, okay, according to on paper, right? But look at all the orphan meetings that never connect to general service. Look at all the orphan meetings that think that they're groups, but don't have a general service representative. I mean, look around in the meetings that you go to. We are growing. This fellowship is growing fast. If you go down, like if you look at, do some of your research, it was taught to me early on in AA that we uncover, discover, and discard here. And that's how we figure things out. That's, we do inventory. So if you do inventory on the numbers and you go back 30 years, and you look at how many groups there were 30 years ago in AA, there were half as many groups. If you look at the size of those groups, they were twice as many people. What that tells me is that huge myth of the coffee pot and resentment, the worst thing that's happened to Alcoholics Anonymous, is that instead of like 30 years ago, utilizing the 12 traditions and 12 concepts to work through our issues with each other at our home groups, to work through our controversies. Instead, we say F everything and run, take our coffee pot and resentment, and we just start another meeting. And so we're splitting off and splitting off and splitting off instead of staying unified, right? Unity, that's what it's all about. And so a lot of those little orphan meetings, they never even become groups. And so that's why it looks like membership is declining, because the home group is the structural foundation of all of Alcoholics Anonymous. This even gives you how to name a group. So naming a group. So if you're brand new and you're, you know, meeting with a couple of more like-minded friends, because basically any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves a group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation, right? Tradition three. So we're gathered together. Let's say we've all left our home group with a coffee pot and a resentment, and we're gonna get together and decide how to start our own group, right? Well, if you're using this, which I hope that we do, because it offers such guidance, the first part is naming an AA group. So bottom of page 17, and you'll see where they slip in the traditions. You'll see. This one is tradition six, right? So no matter how noble the activity or institution, experience has taught AA groups to carefully avoid any affiliation or endorsement of any enterprise outside of AA. Tradition six states an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Even the appearance of being linked to any organization, Zoom, club, or political or religious institution needs to be avoided. Therefore, an AA group that meets in a correctional facility, treatment facility, church, or online, now we could add, right, should take care not to use the institution's name, but to call itself something quite different. This makes clear that the AA group is not affiliated with the hospital, church, prison, treatment facility, or whatever, but simply rents space for their meetings. So my home group is called New Horizons. I used to call it, because I didn't know any better when I was new, it meets at the Trinity Episcopal Church. And so it's in the, you guys call it a where and when, I'll use that term. We call it a meeting directory, but it's in the where and when as TEC. It says New Horizons TEC, and a whole bunch of meetings meet at that location. So people asked me what my home group was. I used to say TEC. Finally, some old timer said, your home group is the Trinity Episcopal Church? Boy, that sure implies affiliation. And it's like, oh, well, no, I guess my home group is called New Horizons, which has nothing to do with the Trinity Episcopal Church, right? And so whether my home group meets at a church, at the library, at the park, or online, it's not the Trinity Episcopal Church meeting, and it's not a Zoom meeting. It's an online meeting or a face-to-face meeting. It's a face-to-face meeting where we meet at the Trinity Episcopal Church, or it's an online meeting where we meet on Zoom, but it's not a Zoom meeting any more than it's a church meeting. So that really helped me a lot too. Here's the primary purpose statement, which I love, because if anybody in this room has ever attended a meeting where you have a lot of stuff that goes on, that, let's just call it multi-purpose activity, right? Multi-purpose activity, and you need a really strong chairperson. You know, somebody goes on for 10 minutes and the chairperson is too shy to say, time's up, you know, or somebody starts talking about their heroin addiction or their sex addiction or their, you know, whatever. And the chairperson is a little bit too shy to say, oh, sorry, this is AA, you know. So it's suggested that if your group doesn't really have a strong chairperson, at least have a strong script. And I love groups that have our singleness of purpose statement in the script, because nobody has to cut anybody off. Nobody is made to feel stupid. Nobody. So I'll read it. It's just so small. And if you open a meeting with this in your script, it unifies the group, because nobody's going to be called out. So it says, the primary purpose of an AA group is to carry the AA message to alcoholics. Alcoholics is in italics here. Experience with alcohol is the one thing all AA members have in common. It is misleading to hint or give the impression that AA solves other problems or knows what to do about drug addiction. Now, that's just AA. And there's other 12-step fellowships for addiction and for sex and for all of those other things. But when you have a newcomer who doesn't know any better, I would never want to put them on blast. I would never want to make them feel stupid. It could make it or break whether they come back to AA or not, right? But I also want to uphold the integrity of the meeting. That's my job as a secretary. So when you have something like that, that you read every day at the beginning of the script, they're going to eventually hear it. It's going to sink in, and they're going to know that it's not anything to do with them. It's not a personal thing. Whereas if you don't have that at the beginning and you have somebody sharing and your secretary has to say, oh, I'm sorry, but we ask that only alcoholics participate, they're going to take that personally. And I don't want anybody taking anything personally in AA, because we have to put these spiritual principles before personalities. And so having a super strong script is always so much better for the unity of the group, and so that nobody has to take anything personally. The more clear the script, the better the meeting. So I love utilizing that little primary purpose statement there. Another place that I love in here is how about principles before personalities? That's on page 28. That's a fun one. Page 28. I'm going to read the second paragraph down after it into that big section on the principle of rotation. To step out of an AA group office you love can be hard. if you have been doing a good job, if you honestly don't see anyone else around willing, qualified, or with time to do it, and your friends agree, it's especially tough. But it can be a real step forward in growth, a step into the humility that is, for some people, the spiritual essence of anonymity. That could not have been truer for me. Humility is not something that comes naturally to me, to this alcoholic. I'm not even good at faking it, but I'm good at following direction, and I can take the action. And I can tell you that here we don't celebrate with cakes. We just never have. I don't know what that's about. We don't really celebrate anniversaries. You know, I know in California and other places, you get a cake on your birthday, right? And we don't do that. So after I started kind of getting out of Oregon and seeing how other meetings do things, and I started going, oh my gosh, I've never gotten a cake. Everybody says, you know, they can't wait to get their cake on their birthday. Why don't we do that, right? And so I started this meeting, not a group. I'm still a member of my home group. It was a once a month. It's not a weekly, you know, meeting. It's not a it's just a once a month birthday celebration meeting for the whole Central Oregon, not for my group, for whole Central Oregon. And it was a meeting to where everybody in Central Oregon who celebrated a birthday that month could come and have a cake and share from the podium about how they did it, right? Like, it was great. And it was a good meeting. And it went on for 2 years, which is, I was told, is the longest somebody should hold a position in Alcoholics Anonymous, except for the trustees. So 2 years passes, and it's almost 2 years. And my service sponsor then was Suzanne W. from Ohio. And we're talking on the phone, and she says, so how's that meeting going, that birthday meeting you got going? And I said, oh, it's great. Oh, it's so great. Oh, there's so many people that show up. We're doing such a great service for all of Central Oregon. I got pride and ego, and I started it. I'm the founder, and I'm doing so much good, right? And she says, yeah, so how long has it been going on? I said, well, January will be 2 years. And she goes, okay, so you have elections, or when are you, you have somebody picked out that you're going to rotate out? And I'm like, oh, well, no, you don't understand. See, now I'm the treasurer. I'm the speaker seeker. I'm the, you know, I do it all, right? And the secretary was my sponsee. And all of the, I mean, pretty much everybody who had anything to do with that meeting were a bunch of sponsees of mine. And so she says, well, what about the spirit of rotation, Carrie? And I said, well, I don't, you know, I guess I can start working on that. And she goes, okay, good. Well, because you have until January 1st. And I'm like, oh. And she hung up. And so I call my sponsor, who's a little bit easier to manipulate than my service sponsors have been. And I tell my sponsor, well, I have to rotate out. So I am thinking, you know, Stephanie almost has 9 months, and, you know, she could probably do a couple of those positions when she has a year. What if I just go on for 3 more months, you know? And my sponsor, of course, says, oh yeah, that's a good idea. You're willing to give up the job. You know, that's good. That sounds like, you know, sounds like a good decision. If Suzanne's telling you you should do that. I said, yeah, I think that's what I'll do. So I tell Suzanne, I said, hey, one of my sponsees will have a year in, I think it's her birthday's, I think, in February. So that was just, you know, a couple months past the time. And she says, oh, and Stephanie is. And I said, oh, a sponsee of mine. She goes, yeah, you're going to give the position to your sponsee. She goes, no, you're going to need to give the committee over to somebody who is not part of your sponsorship line and take your hands out of it entirely and don't even attend the meeting for a few months and trust God. That was the hardest thing I had ever had to do. But you know what? I followed direction. I got a committee together. I opened this whole Facebook account thing for the Central Oregon birthday meeting. I got all of these people involved from all of these other groups. I set up guidelines. I set up service position descriptions. I set up everything. And then I removed myself from the group. And I stopped going to, and I had everything at Amy and Tony's house. Amy and Tony are a married couple in AA. On New Year's Eve, I crashed their New Year's Eve party to bring them all of the boxes of, you know, the paper plates and the key to the church and the money and everything. And I made it out just in the nick of time for 2 years. Now, that was one of the hardest things. It is so much harder sometimes stepping out of a service position than stepping into one. But it was so good for my personal growth. It was so good for my personal growth because I can't be the queen of AA. And so I really appreciate that. And the last portion I'm just going to read here is what is an informed group conscience? And then we'll close with, well, and then we can do questions and answers. So what is an informed group conscience? I don't know how many of you guys have been sitting in a room in the middle of a meeting or before a meeting or after a meeting. And I want to see a show of hands, like literally. And you guys say, somebody says, hey, let's take a group conscience on blah, blah, blah. And a bunch of people raise their hand, right? Whether it's to make the meeting open or close, whether it's to, you know, like, and everybody, you take a group conscience right in the middle of the meeting. Okay. I'm here to tell you that is not a group conscience. That's a poll. But that is not a group conscience. That is an ignorant majority, is what the service manual calls that. Ignorance is without information. It's not a bad word. It just means without information, uninformed. And what is an informed group conscience? I'll read it to you. The group conscience is the collective conscience of the group's membership. Not the meeting's attendees. They have their own home groups. And thus represents substantial unanimity on an issue before definitive action is taken. This is achieved by the group members, the home group members, right? Through the sharing of full information, individual points of view, and the practice of AA principles. To be fully informed requires a willingness to listen to minority opinion with an open mind. On sensitive issues, the group works slowly, discouraging formal motions until a clear sense of its collective view emerges. This is unity, right? Placing principles before personalities, the membership is wary of dominant opinions like mine. This tradition protects you guys from me. Its voice is heard when a well-informed group arrives at a decision. The results rest more than on a yes or no count, precisely because it's the spiritual expression of the group's conscience. The term informed group conscience implies that pertinent information has been studied, like out of this book, right? And all views have been heard before the group votes. And that's on page 28 of the AA group pamphlet. So those are some samples of how amazing the information is that comes out of this. And if you're anything like me, you hated all that information. I mean, that was not good information for me, but as a result of working in the service, serving in the service structure and seeing why we do what we do, all of that information and all of those suggestions, the one thing that it does is promote unity and it helps us to avoid controversy. So with that, I'll turn the floor back over to you, Dee. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here in Florida with your district.
Thank you so much. That's what I miss is the clapping and the hugging. So thank you so much, Carrie, again, for suiting up and showing up. It looks like we called each other about our wardrobe, but I swear we didn't. So I have a couple of questions already started. So now's the time to send questions, guys. If you have any questions, please put them in the chat to myself or Carrie. And let me look and see. I have one that came in early. I don't want to miss anything. So, Tradition 8, where is it in the pamphlet? I looked a few days ago and couldn't find it.
Well, the actual tradition, all of the actual traditions are on page 44. They're called the long form. The short form of the traditions didn't take place of the long form. It's just an abbreviation. So basically the short form of the traditions is like, instead of saying general service representative, sometimes we say GSR, right? So it's just a more condensed so that it fits on the wall. So the long form of the traditions are on page 44 and 45. in your AA group pamphlet. And there's also places throughout, and I don't have them all memorized, that talk about, you know, tradition 8 is our for fun and for free tradition. And it talks about that we don't charge for 12-step work. It's not for fee or for hire. That's the terminology in the long form of tradition 8, is that it's not for fee or for hire. It's for fun and for free.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. And here's another one. Open versus closed meetings. Open meetings others may attend as observers. Could a group go against the pamphlet as every group is autonomous?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every group, as it says in the fourth tradition, in Bill's essay in the 12 and 12, every group has a right to be wrong. It doesn't make them right. And but there's no AA cops that are going to come and close your group down, you know, and I love that. I love that about AA. There's no AA cops. So, but I also have to look at it like this, you know, the fourth tradition, much like the fourth step, is an inventory tradition. It's an inventory step. So when a group takes inventory, a group inventory, which was the very next thing that we were going to go over, but I ran out of time. It's on the very next page. So page 29, I think, of your group pamphlet. But when a group takes inventory, much like the individual, like when I first wrote out my fourth step, there was a lot of things on there that I was wrong about, right? And thank God my sponsor, and I have a right to be wrong, my sponsor didn't listen to my fifth step and say, oh my God, Carrie, you're kicked out of AA. We can't have a member like you, right? No, she's not going to do that, because that's what inventory is for. But you know what she's also not going to do? She's also not going to say, well, you know, Carrie, since you've been stealing, cheating, and lying for this long, everyone has a right to be wrong. Go ahead and continue. No, like we do inventory so that we can do better. Once we know better, we can do better. And that's why group inventories happen, is so that we can go down the list of traditions, and we can go down the checklist, and we can say, hey, is our group abiding by this tradition? And if not, why? And even if you've been breaking every tradition, if you've been publishing your face on YouTube, if you've been charging membership dues, if you've been letting non-alcoholics participate in your meetings, whatever it is, nobody's going to shut your group down. Nobody's going to do that. But when you know better, you can do better. And it's up to each group to find out where they can improve and grow along spiritual lines, just like the rest of us, in unity. And it, with a unified message, just like the rest of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Love it. Thank you, Carrie. Informed group conscience. Have you ever emailed information to group members before a group conscience so they can think and study before?
Oh, I love that question. Well, that is a great question. So every group is autonomous. It doesn't break tradition, however your group wants to do this. My home group, I've seen some groups that put their list of agenda items on the wall in the clubhouse that they meet on, or whatever, like on a whiteboard or something, so everybody knows. Some groups announce it for a month. My home group, our custom is that if you want something on the agenda, if you are wanting to make a motion, you send it into the recording secretary sometime before the agenda is sent out for the month. So before that last week, before the business meeting, and he adds it. Right now it's a he. It's the first time my group has ever had a he for a recording secretary. We're super excited to have Pete. But you send Pete your agenda. He puts it on the agenda. And then when he sends the agenda out before the business meeting to everybody, everybody sees that that motion is on the agenda. And then whoever made the motion gets to present that at the business meeting. And then we get 1 month of thoughtful contemplation, generally to pray about it, to do our own research. An informed group conscience requires information and research, to talk to our sponsors about it. And then we vote on the following month. So that's how my home group has that in our bylaws. But every group is going to be autonomous, and there's no wrong way to do it, so long as your home group members agree about it beforehand.
Thank you, Carrie. Should I go to my next business meeting and make a motion to adopt the content of this pamphlet, somebody asked?
You could. I have not done that. What we do at my home group is we have newcomer packets. And when you are a newcomer to my home group, you are given, you know, like the little Is AA for Me 12 question checklist and some the sponsorship pamphlet and some of that really cool newcomer stuff. And then we have a different type of packet, and it's called a new member kit. It's not for the newcomer. It's for the newer member of our home group. So when our home group gets a new member that joins by attending our business meeting, we have a place in our script, in our format at our business meeting, to ask if there's anyone here for their first business meeting joining for their first time today to the New Horizons group and wants to make New Horizons their home group. And if they say yes, we give them a packet. It's a welcome packet from our group. It has a copy of our bylaws in it. It has this pamphlet, the AA group pamphlet. It states clearly that this is how we run our group. That's just the information that they get. It gives access to, you know, our Zoom account. It get like the background account stuff to where gives a bunch of access to all of our group information.